Hello and welcome to this Witness History podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Rebecca Kesby. And today we head to East Africa in September 2013, when a small number of gunmen attacked a large shopping mall in Nairobi, Kenya. The ensuing siege continued for 4 days. By the end, well over 60 people were killed and hundreds injured. I've been reviewing eyewitness reports from the time and speaking to a paramedic who was there.
Many dead and injured after gunmen opened fire in a shopping mall in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
I've seen a lot of people with gunshot wounds, and I'm actually sitting in a room with a couple of young girls who are in severe state of shock.
We've been asked to lie down now. I've got to lie down.
The security guard who was just lying next to where I was shot in the head. He died instantly.
Kenya had been targeted before in major terror attacks. But when at least 4 gunmen strolled into the busy Westgate shopping mall on September the 21st, 2013, it was civilians, ordinary shoppers, that were the victims.
It was a normal Saturday lunchtime. The Westgate shopping mall behind me was packed. Hundreds of people from different countries all over the world browsing in the shops. And then suddenly at 12:30, gunfire and explosions as grenades were thrown.
I was right in front of the steps, and I could see the shoppers who were coming down with the bags, with shopping bags, and people just being shot right in front of me and all dropping dead there, right in front of me. It was very, very scary. And I thought, that's it. I just started praying. I mean, this is the end of me, that's it. I don't know whether I'm going to come out of this alive.
You get a sense that things are really tense here. There are rescue workers here from the Red Cross and from other agencies as well.
Daniel Uma was a paramedic on duty that day. He remembers getting the emergency call.
We received a call that there was an attack at the Westgate Mall. So we were directed by our team leader that we should pack our things and go so that we can try and see how we can help those who had casualties and those who were stuck in.
And what were your thoughts when you got that call? Because it's a major terror incident still going on.
We knew that we were going to face a very big hard task ahead of us. We were worried, but you know, if you're a medic, our motto is either do or die. So when someone is in a problem, yes, you need first to consider your safety as well. So you are frightened, but as a medic, you need to prepare yourself in any eventuality where we as medics, you are prepared 100%. Anytime you are called, you need to avail yourself.
And did you have many details as to the situation you were heading into?
It was all over, breaking news everywhere that Westgate Mall been attacked by Al-Shabaab. So we were leaving where we were, heading to Westgate Mall, knowing very well what has taken place there.
When you got there, what did you find?
By the time when we got there, we realized that it was not easy for us to access the venue or to access the place because it was being manned by the army. They sealed the place. This is a no-go zone. And for you to get hold of these people to help people, it wasn't that easy because security were everywhere. So everyone was confused.
The Somali Islamist group Al-Shabaab almost immediately claimed responsibility for the attack. They said in retaliation for Kenya's military action against them in southern Somalia. But it was a chaotic scene outside the mall. There was confusion between the various different security forces, the anti-terror squad, the police and the army. Inside the mall, there were a number of off-duty police officers who were also trying to coordinate evacuations. No one was even sure how many gunmen there were. It was impossible for Daniel and his team to reach the injured inside the mall. And anyway, they were inundated with casualties pouring out of the building. They arranged first aid tents close to the scene and began to triage the wounded.
We have seen many casualties coming out. The number of ambulances here that has been leaving this place, I've lost count of them, maybe more than 10.
Daniel, how many people were you treating at any given time?
In our tent, you might find we were attending to close to 100 plus people. And to be honest, we had not one tent. There are plenty of tents. So the number was quite big.
What sort of injuries were you seeing?
Those who were shot, Some were shot dead. The gunshots, we couldn't do anything at the scene because some, you heard the bullets were inside. We had to be taken for theater to be operated on. Some fell because the bomb, the stones were falling down. Some got injured. They could not walk. The bruises, because of maybe someone would wish to run for his life or for her life, and you find that people stepping on you as they find their way out.
Okay, so injuries from being trampled on or where they'd been crawling to try and get out.
Exactly, yes.
And on top of those physical injuries, I guess most people were also really traumatized.
Everyone is frightened, shocked. Some are crying, some don't even know where they are. Some could not even talk. Most of those were confused. And some, they were not injured, but that shock, they cannot express themselves. They don't know where they are. They don't know what happened.
And so how did you treat those people?
When someone is threatened, the first remedy, you need to give this person a glass of water. Try to talk to the person, or you can give this person something sugary. It can help this person at least to come back to his senses.
And how were you? I mean, the shooting's still going on. You must have been in shock and pretty scared too.
When there's an incident like that, you put your personal things aside, because our sole responsibility as a medic is to help people. I worked for almost 6 days without even going home. It is something that no one can ever want to repeat itself again.
There was a shooting on the ground floor, and slowly, slowly they're going up and up. Some police has rescued us. The situation is very bad inside.
Screaming, screaming, and I could hear like the gunfire moving towards the main entrance of the shopping mall.
It was chaos as people tried to flee the nightmare. The first response came not from a police unit or the military, but mainly from the Asian community of Kenya. Armed members of a nearby neighbourhood watch scheme, as well as other extraordinarily brave civilians. Businessman Abdul Haji was one of those who helped rescue dozens and dozens of terrified people.
The number of dead people we saw, the number of injured people we saw, the number of people who were just lying down bleeding.
Haji searched for survivors while dodging crossfire. He noticed an American family taking cover under a mall kiosk and beckoned 4-year-old Portia Walton toward him.
We kept asking her to run, and she started running. And I thought that was very, very brave of the little girl.
The siege continued into Sunday, and then Monday. Contradictory statements from the Kenyan authorities added to the confusion. Some soldiers were able to get into the mall, but were later accused of looting. Then, later on Monday, the security forces seemed to be taking decisive action.
Well, there's a series of shots ringing out now, just outside the shopping centre. Black smoke we can see coming from the top of the building.
We started getting images that showed the staggering extent of the destruction caused by the explosions and fire. Soldiers told journalists they had blasted out supporting columns in order to bring down part of the complex. They suggested collapsing it on top of the gunman was the only way to end the siege. But at what cost? How many hostages were with them?
As the siege came to an end, the Kenyan authorities said that 5 gunmen had been killed. Though most were from a Somali background, some were foreigners, including one attacker from Norway. As criticism over the handling of the attack began and investigations were launched, the Kenyan president, Uhuru Kenyatta, admitted that the security operation had been bungled. But for paramedic Daniel Uma, the most distressing part of his job was just beginning. Flanked by soldiers, his team were taken into the shopping centre to try to find any survivors. What they found still pains him to this day.
The experience that I experienced that day, it wasn't easy. You will start crying. Crying or someone who has been shot, maybe he was shot from the back and the stomach is widely open. It disturbs me. I was so hurt. They kill innocent people. I'm telling you, Rebecca, whatever we saw or whatever we experienced, my heart bled for months.
Daniel Uma. He was speaking to me, Rebecca Kesby, for this Witness History podcast from the BBC World Service.